Hello and welcome to another episode of Tech Enthusiast. I'm Neil.
I'm Simon. And let's start with our usual 1+2 invite status. Do you have an invite, Neil?
Well, that's a complicated question, Simon.
It was a yes or no question, Neil.
It was a yes or no question. Fortunately, I don't have a yes or no answer. I was actually emailed an invite and I was quite chuffed to bits with that because I really, really wanted one.
I was jealous.
Yeah, you were.
I was very jealous.
I remember messaging you and you were like, oh, what?
Well, I was ahead of you in the queue, I don't know what happened there.
I think it's other stuff like previous owner and quite high on the forums and stuff like that. So
I'm an active user.
But I got my invite, so I was like, yes! And I was at work and I was like, oh, need to get this ordered because you've only got 24 hours to use the invite.
Yeah.
And obviously I'd be at home within 24 hours, but...
You're not going to
wait that long.
No, 24 minutes is pushing.
So basically I got straight online and found my invite in my account, signed into my account. There was the invite. Boom, here we go. And, everything's in dollars, but yeah, it'll all work itself out, I'm sure. And no, it's not. It says I'm in the wrong country store. Okay, fair enough. Yeah, there's a little USA flag there in the bottom right-hand corner. Let's get on to the British store. So there I am in the... British store, little Union Jack, GBP, everything's looking good. And then I clicked on the invite and it took me back to the US store. And I was like, what? So I tried to change it back to the British store and it kind of errored out and went right back to the beginning. And I was like, yeah. So I tried to mix about and mess about with it for about 5 minutes. And the end result of all that being me getting a message up saying, no, you can't buy it. Because we haven't got any, was one of the messages I got. And the other message was that my invite had already been claimed. So I was like, what? But yeah, for some bizarre reason, if I was in my account and I was in the British store.
Yeah.
As soon as I clicked onto the invites tab within my account, that just automatically kicked me out of the British store into the American store. And from that point on, there was no way of... going from there into the British store, you always had to go through the American store to click on the invite.
So long story short, Neil.
I don't have an invite. That invite has expired.
Right.
I've been onto OnePlus support
yeah.
and they've gone, huh, that's weird. Can you send us some screenshots? So I did. And they said they're going to sort it. However, it is, as of this moment, not yet sorted. And this was 5 days ago.
But if... They are going to chase it down.
Yeah.
So you are in the invite system.
Yeah.
So you can obviously invite me.
Yeah, obviously.
And
obviously.
I can get a phone. But I think maybe we should open it up to the sort of Tech Enthusiast listener base, because obviously we've got a lot of listeners now.
Oh, yeah, millions.
Got a lot of listeners. A lot of listeners. So what we'll do after this podcast is we'll put up a little link where people can put in their email address, and then as soon as we get our invites, or as Neil gets his invite, we can start... giving out invites.
Yeah.
So we can all get hold of a really cheap, high-end Android phone.
Yeah.
And talking of Android phones, because it is the season of phones, after all.
Mm-hmm.
Next bit, the Next Robin. Bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just an interesting group of people, really.
Definitely.
You know, ex-Apple, ex-HTC, ex-Google. Let's get together. Let's make a phone.
Yep.
Obviously, it was billed as revolutionary. Thinking, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? Oh, okay, yeah, it's a phone,
yeah,
and it's got some online storage.
Yeah, that seemed to be their killer feature.
It's a little smarter than that because it intelligently offloads information. So apparently it identifies what apps you do and don't use, and then when you approach the sort of local storage limit, it begins to offload the older apps, older photos, older videos onto the cloud.
Yeah.
So your phone never gets full.
She's smart.
It is smart, but then that only works on Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
So let's say I film a video of my son's birthday, and then 9 months later, I've never accessed it at this point.
Yeah.
It's then offloaded it to the cloud, and then I want to show it to great-grandma. Great-grandma doesn't have Wi-Fi.
Mm.
I'm stuck on cellular. I've got to download a 350-meg video.
That does sound bizarre.
I know I've come up with a test case that disproves the advantage of their product. But when it assesses what media you do and don't use.
Yeah.
That's real. You know, there's some videos that, yeah, we may want to recall, but we won't watch them for months on end.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's one of the complaints that people had about the Xbox One as well, because that uses a similar kind of system.
Yeah.
And they've now patched in that you can manually... because initially there was no...
Oh, you can flag.
Yeah, there was no manual way of managing your storage. I mean, now you can just full-on delete stuff.
Yeah.
But you weren't able to do that initially, and they just said, don't worry about it, you'll never fill up your hard drive, we'll sort it all on our end, and people were just really mistrusting of that.
Yeah. I'm sure Robin has got the flag, but then the seamless integration of additional storage is no longer seamless.
Yeah.
Integration of it... Oh, God, I'm sounding like... Netflix defending the local storage thing, aren't I?
Yeah.
Did you? That was, yeah. We're not going to allow you to download files locally because it's adding too much complexity. After, when I read that, I was like, oh, that's silly. But now I've just come up with that argument myself. Maybe that does make a bit of sense. It does make sense, I think, when you're cycling through like 500 photos. Like, oh, yeah, keep. I don't want to worry about that.
No, you don't.
I just don't. I want them to be there, which is why I buy a phone that's got 64 gig of local storage rather than...
And that's why you've got apps like Flickr that can automatically upload and things like that. But
yeah,
you don't want to have to think about it.
No, I don't.
You look back at the times when you literally had to take a memory card out of your phone and put it in a card reader in your computer.
You know what? That reminds me of it. A keyboard warrior argument I had online. It was back when the iPod was relatively new.
Yeah.
And I was in this forum, and this guy was arguing that who would ever buy a music player that didn't have removable storage?
Oh, right.
The iPod would fail. I was like, who even wants to go, right, yeah, I've got the first 15 albums on this memory card.
Yeah.
The second 15 albums, no one wants that.
No.
You want your music on one device, but... It turned into a massive argument, and he said it would never work. People like removable media for music. No, they don't.
No.
People like access.
He was viewing the memory card like a CD, wasn't he, basically?
Yeah, well, I can remember getting minidiscs and trying to cram as many MP3s on a minidisc. And even that was frustrating, because, God, if kids don't realise nowadays, and you're like, how good I've got it, because playlists...
All right, old man.
I know. It used to have a mini disc dedicated to each playlist.
Wow.
So some of the songs may be replicated on other playlists.
Yeah.
But of course, it was like, no, go grab that mini disc. Now, obviously we have all the songs on one phone, and then you can make unlimited playlists that contain the songs.
Or not even on the phone. Streaming it.
Yeah, can stream Spotify and Apple Music and stuff. But yeah. God, that's me talking. Yeah, streaming is the future now. You see, I'm stuck 5 years ago. Even though we do use Apple Music and Spotify.
Don't worry, Grandad.
I know, I'm definitely getting old. And there's even more phones coming out.
Yep.
Even more. Google with the new Nexus. It's going to be two sizes, the 5.2. Am I supposed to choose what phone?
iPhone
as well, too.
Oh, iPhone, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely going Android. And I'm leaning heavily towards OnePlus 2, but I am quite tempted to see what the Nexus brings.
I think the OnePlus 2, it's a phone where you can buy it. You're going to buy it for, what, like 280?
Yeah.
280. You sell it on eBay for 240.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have got £40 worth of play out of it.
Yeah.
Absolutely £40 worth of play. And then you can flick to... Because that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
You know, I'm definitely going to get the OnePlus 2. I'm still interested in the Moto X style. Very interested in what Google are going to release with the Nexus.
Yeah.
Because that's the pure Android experience.
Definitely, yeah.
You know, especially since I haven't got hold of the new version of Android yet. Because it's Milkshake, isn't it? No, Marshmallow.
Yes, Marshmallow, yeah.
So I really want to see what accessibility features there are on Marshmallow.
Yeah.
Now, in the previous version, so the current version of Android,
Lollipop,
some of the accessibility features... classed as in testing mode.
Right.
So I'd like to see if they're out of testing mode and how they work on the Nexus flagship.
Right, yeah.
Because, yeah, I'm going to have to use the accessibility, so I ideally need to go with the phone with the best
implementation, yeah.
Of that. And that's going to be Nexus.
Yeah.
But I'm still going to play with that OnePlus 2, and I'll probably end up flipping it on the bay.
Yeah.
Like everything else. If you can't flip it on the bay. But 2 days away from an Apple event.
Yeah.
New phone.
Definitely.
Oh, I'm going to have to get that phone. Just to test it. Although they are rumouring now that there's going to be 3 levels of touch.
Yeah, I read that, yeah.
What's interesting about that is now we're talking how we can reduce the number of gestures to complete a task.
Yeah.
Instantly added another layer of complexity that's still on one gesture.
Yeah.
So very interesting. You know, for example, they're not going to do it. So I don't even know why I say these things. But let's say with an Apple Music and you want to heart a song, why not just firmly press your phone?
Yeah.
Hard. You know, there's going to be 3 levels of press. So perhaps even the harder press puts it in your library, downloads it.
Yeah.
That's how I want to interact with music.
Because the last thing you want to be doing, the last thing you want to be doing it when you've got your phone in your pocket and you're out and about or whatever, you could be in a supermarket, running, whatever, and a song comes on and you're like, oh, I really like this song. Hang on, I've just got to unlock my phone and then... Oh,
you can actually heart from the lock screen.
Right,
you can, but a gesture where you just hold your finger
and
sort of it and, you know, do a hard press is simpler than having to hit a particular location
on
the screen. And that's what we're moving more towards, that real quick, simple interaction. I hate to say it, but it'd work better on Android, because can you imagine if you can start...
Where you can tie it into.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, a hard press calls me an Uber.
Yeah.
A hard press turns the lights... And actually, Apple might have a home kit. But, yeah, you could make that press do... anything.
Yeah, I mean, if this then that brought out that button app where you could dedicate a button to doing one thing.
Yeah,
it's like the next stage of that. You're not.
So can you have that on the home screen?
I think so. Yeah,
can you have it on lock as well?
I'm not entirely certain.
That's cool though. Yeah, that is cool.
Yeah, definitely.
So could you even make it send like a specific tweet or a text message?
Again, it fell within the normal bounds of if this then that recipes, but it just meant that rather.
So
than
on
being,
Android, you probably you can send text, can't you?
Yeah.
I've really started to get into
it. Yeah, because I used to have it set up so that when I left work...
I can't
have
been in the car. Yeah.
It had text.
Because wasn't that done on GPS? So if you passed a certain geolocation...
Yeah, and you could set where the ring was as well and everything, so...
So as you're driving home, you pass that geolocation, send a text saying, on my way home, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah.
I did like that. That really made me want if they send that in an Android. Because... Yeah, I was at a conference the other day and automation is becoming a real big area. Everyone's talking about it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, can we automate this? Can we automate that? And it was the first time I've been to a conference where a lot of the speakers were talking about if this, then that.
Oh, right.
And they were all talking about integrating into different things. Yeah. And it was interesting because it wasn't exactly a straight up tech conference.
Right.
So then to hear something outside of the tech sphere... thinking, how can we use if this then that?
Yeah,
I found really interesting. Well, yeah, I'm using if this then that. So I'm talking right now. So yeah, it's just now getting a little frustrating for me, the limitations on the iPhone and if this then that.
Yeah, yeah. I had if this then that when I had an iPhone, and I'd literally used it for nothing because I didn't find any useful implementation for
the
iPhone.
I've just been using it. Or things that are more web-based services and not necessarily on the iPhone.
Yeah.
For example, I've started using Instagram, which seems quite funny since I can't see the photos. But I've just started to use it just to take some interesting photos, catalogue a few things. Think I'm going to use it a lot more in training.
Yeah.
Like pre-training, post-training photos, things like that. Where was I going with this? So yeah, they then post the photo to Twitter and to Facebook.
Yeah.
I know you can do that with an Instagram, but this, if this, then that, actually re-uploads it to Twitter, so it's a real Twitter photo, you know, rather than a link to Instagram. And saying, if this, then that, it's called IFTTT.
Yeah.
But I think if this, then that is easy to say.
Than IFTTT. Yeah. Well, it's like World Wide Web is easier to say than WWW.
No, do you know what? Everyone goes dub-dub-dub. It irritates me. At least 3 of the speakers the other day went... If you go to dub-dub-dub, I was like, oh, that winds me up when you say dub-dub-dub.
You know, we need to buy a website called dub-dub-dub.com.
Oh, God, that reminds me, right? The head of the creator program for Tumblr was talking, is American.
Right.
And I went, yeah, we're really getting heavy into GIFs.
Oh, God, I hate the GIF thing.
It's
such a big argument.
Not, well, right, so he was American, and then one of the creative guys from Sarge got on stage and went, yeah, I really like GIFs.
Yeah. It's a real polarising thing, and it makes no sense to me.
It's GIF. I don't care what anyone says.
I don't care what the creator of the GIF says when he says it's called a GIF.
He's wrong.
He's wrong.
Don't know English.
It's a GIF.
He's ruining our language, it's GIF.
Yeah.
Yeah. GIF does not sound...
Well, A, it's a cleaning product in the UK.
Well, not that. It stands for, was it graphical information format file?
Yeah. I think it's format. Either way, it's graphical, which is a hard G.
It's a GIF. So, yeah, no. That's like calling a... Well, I need to think of an example before I finish this.
Look at that giraffe.
Look at that giraffe over there. Yeah, yeah, no, it's GIF.
Definitely
GIF.
Yeah, that's that settled.
Yeah. That's the final word if anyone ever wants to sort of point out to the friends. Just send them the link to this podcast because it's GIF.
There you go.
Straight up GIF.
That's all the authority you need.
Yeah. So we're talking about Apple.
Yeah, we were there or thereabouts.
Yeah. Producing their own film and TV content.
Rumoured.
It seems like a logical move after they began to make radio. Why not create the media?
Yeah.
They have the platforms to distribute, new Apple TV. But the one thing I wanted to comment on this news story in particular was the fact that they're apparently in talks with Clarkson, May and Hammond to pick them up. And I would have lost so much respect for Tim Cook and Eddie Q if they'd signed those guys.
Yeah.
After the Clarkson incident, I was
shocked.
After the incident he was fired for.
Right, okay.
Now, was he straight up fired, or was he just let go?
Not entirely certain.
I don't know, it's interesting. I wonder what terminology they've used for that.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting. Yeah, after he punched a producer for not having hot food.
Yeah.
Who'd get annoyed for not having hot food on set?
I don't know. Just disgraceful.
No one does that. So, yeah. No. I was amazed that Amazon picked up for a rumoured $160 million.
Oh, God.
Three seasons, $160 million.
Gross.
The reason... Did you see the reason Netflix turned it down?
No.
Apparently Netflix said, well, we've got the data on who watches Top Gear.
Yeah, because there's a lot of Top Gear back episodes.
It's not worth that much money.
Ah.
And then he had to quickly backtrack.
Really?
Yeah, it quickly backtracked and
said. That's interesting.
But there is a market for everything, so, you know, good luck to Amazon.
It can't be argued that there is a market for Top Gear.
There's a market for it, but is it the $160 million market?
Yeah, that's the question.
How much did House of Cards cost? Was it 60?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, actually, that means House of Cards cost more, because that was $60 million a season.
Yeah.
They did it three seasons for $160 million. But if they've got the data, that means more people must have been watching that content versus Top Gear.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you'd buy it. Because Tim Lyon ain't got enough money.
And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what the overall audience for those three people are. It's the overall audience that Netflix has.
Yeah.
Unless you're counting on it bringing in new customers.
Well, that must be what Amazon account, because Amazon... Oh, well, they'll have large numbers because you get Prime Video with Prime.
Yeah.
So we'll instantly give, so they'll say their subscriber base is huge.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that those people are active viewers of Amazon Instant Video. Because I had Prime for 11 months before I even watched anything on Amazon Instant.
I think one issue with Prime Instant Video is just the cost. And not because it's ridiculously expensive, but because it's an upfront
it's the one-off cost.
I
learned today, reading up about this and I didn't know. Did you realise they have different content whether you're viewing on mobile or the desktop?
No.
Yeah. The content differs.
Weird.
So, I was like, what? Really? How can that be? I have Netflix on my iPhone, my iPad, my Apple TV.
Yeah.
It's the same content. I can pause it on one device and start playing it on the next.
That's the whole point.
I didn't appreciate that Amazon Instant Video didn't even have the same content.
That's weird.
Yeah. I was honestly blown away when I found that out.
So I guess with the Apple producing their own content thing, one of the things that people have spoken about for ages about Apple not bringing an updated Apple TV out was that they couldn't get the content deals.
That, well, apparently they still haven't.
Yeah.
I don't...
But if they're making their own content...
It's probably the right way to do it.
Yeah.
That's what... Because Netflix have dropped the movies. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, they've...
They're saying that they're going to survive on the original content.
Yeah. There is so much Netflix original content now. So much that I don't even know what some of it is because there's that much.
Well, I've just started watching Narcos. I think once I finish on that, I'm going to jump onto, is it Sense8?
I really want to watch Sense8, actually.
Yeah, I'm going to watch Sense8 after that and then want to finish with that. Although the boys love dino trucks.
Have you watched that the other day?
Oh, it's awful, isn't
it? It's really bad.
It is. So, do you know what?
It's DreamWorks.
How many episodes have you watched?
Like two.
Like, draws you in.
Really?
It's horrid, but they have actual storylines.
I think the thing that bugs me the most about it is that the species don't make sense.
No, it's not that for me. I'll tell you what don't make sense to me.
Go on.
For people who don't know about this show, there's dinosaurs, isn't there, which are called dino trucks.
Yes.
Right, so the dinosaurs / trucks.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Right, and then there's reptiles,
yeah,
which are reptools.
Yes.
So they're part reptile, part tool.
Yeah, like a chameleon.
Now,
a wrench.
Is where, it all falls apart.
Okay. No pun intended.
Reptools are able to fix dino trucks, aren't they? That's the premise of the show.
Yeah.
Right? But in the first episode, it's explained that reptools don't get on with dino trucks. They never work with them. They never fix them. So how did this species evolve the right tools on their body to only be able to fix dino trucks?
What?
Well, they fix the dino trucks, don't they? The reptiles.
Yeah. I mean, my kids have been watching it, and I watched an episode like 4 or 5 episodes in, and there's like 3 reptiles that are hanging out with the dino trucks and fixing them.
Yeah, in the first episode, you find out that reptiles and dino trucks don't get on. Reptiles and dino trucks never work together.
Right.
Then how then are reptiles only got the tools to fix dino trucks? Because obviously you've seen it further in, and you assumed that they just helped each other.
Yeah.
But that ain't what happened in episode 1.
Weird.
And that just... I struggled with it for episode 1 and 2.
Yeah.
But then I got drawn in, and now I watch it. There's only 10 episodes, though, aren't there?
Oh, is there?
I don't know. Yeah, there's only 10 episodes. But yeah, now I actually quite enjoy it, and I enjoy the theme tune.
I couldn't believe it was DreamWorks.
Why? They make a lot of junk.
Well, they make some good stuff as well.
Name 2 good things that are separate franchises.
Isn't How to Train Your Dragon DreamWorks?
Yeah.
And something else.
Well done. There was your 2.
You put me on the spot. I was going to say Shrek, but I don't think that is.
It is.
Is it? Yeah.
Because I thought you were going to say like Shrek 2.
Right.
Rather than say How to Train Your Dragon.
Ah, there you go then.
So you did. You got 2 franchises.
Thank you very much.
But if you compare that to Pixar.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I forgot how we got onto this.
Content, Apple.
Netflix.
Yeah.
So yeah, Apple, yeah. Making their own content, I think, does make sense.
Yeah.
It really does make sense. Because we've all been drawn into Netflix original content. It is very entertaining. They've got the variety. Now, Apple have got the money to absolutely replicate,
but if,
supersede, do far better.
If this was the case, would we not have heard about stuff that was in the works? Because if they're relying on making their own content, they can't come to the board and go, we're going to make our own content.
Right, now, when you say,
2 years.
Now, when you say they make their own content, House of Cards wasn't made by Netflix.
All right, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, that's not how making your own content works. Making your own content is you buy it.
Yeah.
You know, so that content right now could be out there being created. Apple say, we'll buy it. It's exclusive.
Yeah,
and then it's
enough.
Apple content. So whether Apple will actually make their own studio is very different from Apple studio commissioning other studios. So the content is out there.
Yeah, and they've got plenty of cash.
Yeah. Yeah, cash is not with Apple, really, is it?
No.
It's never, is, I don't think it's ever going to be a worry.
What about delivery of that content?
What do you mean?
Streaming, or are they going to keep on with...
No, it'll be streaming.
You think?
Subscription models now are becoming so commonplace. I think you would struggle. Because, like... The previous model, they've got an iTunes, you know, with the series, is due to networks. So the networks have obviously said, this is how much we want. Apple said, we want this percentage, so that's the price that's been set.
Yeah.
Because often it was more expensive to buy it on iTunes, the series, than it was to go out and buy the DVD.
Yeah.
That's because the network set the price. It's going to make sense to go subscription, especially how you're going to say, or compete with Netflix, Amazon, and whoever else is going to enter the market if you're not a subscription.
Yeah.
It would have to be, a series would need to be like £1.
Yeah.
But you're not, it's not going to work.
No.
It's a numbers game, so you need subscriptions. Now, the real interesting thing would be, would there be a bundle that's Apple Music and Apple Video?
Yeah, they could do that.
Could it, they increase the price, say, to £20 a month? Get it all. And Apple have already got a lot of partnerships with studios as well. Just think the close ties with Disney.
Yeah.
How much content did Disney own?
Quite a lot.
That's a lot of content.
We're talking Star Wars, Marvel. That's before we get to get the actual Disney and Pixar stuff.
Yeah. Even just the Disney and Pixar straight up content.
Yeah.
Is a lot of interesting content.
Yeah.
Even all the channel. Think of all the kids shows on the channels.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of content that they could very quickly and easily get access to. But I would then argue that it's going to be harder to then make deals with the sort of cable channels to get their content on if they end up putting that content on, which is shown on those cable channels.
Yeah. But I mean, there's been incidents in the past where, like... sort of movies have disappeared, like Disney have removed movies from Netflix in the run up to Christmas because it's a Christmas movie and they want people to go out and buy it.
Yeah.
And that's caused a lot of problems in the past. Or it's caused an outcry anyway from consumers. It's because
they'll always have an option to pull their content whenever they like.
Yeah.
That's the only way that Netflix will be able to get a contract.
Yeah.
It's going to... I don't know. How many more markets are Apple going to move into before they're so dominant that they're a ridiculous monopoly?
Yeah.
They already make all the profit in mobile phones, all the profit in the tablet market, well, not all the profit, but a high proportion of the profit in the tablet market.
Yeah.
They're the only, if we call them PCs, PC vendor whose sales are increasing.
Mm.
If they begin to be able to compete with Spotify and then begin to compete with Netflix, what's left? Or that car, then they're done.
Yeah.
Before you know it, we're going to be drinking cups of Apple coffee.
Oh God, that sounds disgusting.
It does sound disgusting. it's a lot of markets.
Yeah.
And then, how big can that company get? Is there a point where, for example, this seems ridiculous right now, but perhaps with a Google setting the stage for it, could Apple production, and by production I mean music and video, become a separate entity and take iTunes with them?
Yeah, it's possible.
And then you end up with two Apples. Apple Media, and then Apple, as we know Apple today. Because it'd be too big. That is too big.
I think they'd be reluctant to fragment, though.
They'd be reluctant to fragment. But how big is that company?
If
they enter all those markets? That just seems a huge company. Can you really keep that level of control over a company that large? Because Netflix must be difficult when you've got that many productions.
Yeah.
At one point in time. Because the radio station, just one radio station, that's how it's going to work when it's production and you're managing creation of content of 20 or 30 shows.
Yeah.
That's a separate company.
Yeah. Yeah, you're moving beyond department then, aren't you, really?
Yeah. There's no way Tim Cook could oversee that. They're going to have to put someone like Eddie Q and Jimmy, I can never say his surname. Him.
Yeah.
That one.
That bloke.
And splinter it off.
Yeah.
I'd, It'd be too big. Too big.
Hmm.
What else is in the news, Neil?
Well... Oh, there was that thing you wanted to talk about, the Animotus?
Oh, yeah, this was crazy. There was a tiny little article on only one tech blog that I read. Obviously, I read a lot of tech blogs.
Yeah.
I read, like, 10 or more. About this little device. Animotus?
Animotus, looks like, possibly.
You know what, I really should know how to say it. This is real. I apologise to Adam, who's the creator of it, for not knowing how to. But anyway, I read about this product, and it's basically a cube that sits in your hand.
Oh, you did tell me about this.
I did tell you about this, yeah. It's a cube that sits in your hand and it helps you to navigate. And the way it does that is it changes shape and points to the direction you need to be moving. And if you're farther away from the target, it extends. And then when you come closer, it retracts and it turns back into the cube.
That sounds like some crazy sci-fi.
It doesn't even sound real, does it?
No.
So I read this small little post about it. I found out about the guy who made it. It's called Adam Spears. And he works in a research lab in Yale. So, you know, it's the internet.
Yeah.
I'm sure everyone else will be able to do this. Probably shouldn't have mentioned his name. Oops, we don't have a rewind button. So anyway, I found this guy.
Yeah.
I thought, I'm going to track him down. So I tracked him down, sent him an email, probably within 20 minutes of reading the article, saying,
yeah,
I want it. I want this product. I want to do an adventure that uses this product. Let's make it happen.
Yeah.
And the following day, he replied saying, I love it. It's great. And then, obviously, prototype.
Yeah.
So then discussing, you know, like the issues it currently has in terms of, would it be desert ready? Because I'm going to run it in the desert with it. And
yeah.
A few issues in terms of, he's now making prosthetics. He's now moved on to... It's a hero, this guy.
Yeah.
He's now doing research on prosthetics for amputees.
Crazy.
I know. That's his job. I think he works in the robotics department.
Right.
So now he's making prosthetics. And I'm sure it's just... A lot of prosthetics now, 3D printers, I'm sure it's working. Yeah. I should probably ask him about it, because I am talking to him now. So now we're discussing, can we somehow make this product a bigger reality? Because it's a prototype.
Yeah.
You know, prototypes often stay in the lab, they never see the light of day. And as much as we enjoy bashing Kickstarter, I suggested to him perhaps we should put this on Kickstarter.
Right.
And do a Kickstarter, because it works.
Yeah.
He's used this, you know, he's used it for a play. It's out there. It does work. It works in the lab. It's in the advanced prototype stage, so it does work.
Yeah.
He just wants to look at doing some sort of circuit integration, changing some motors, and just making it a little more stable in terms of its construction.
Yeah.
So, yeah, looks like I'm going to be working with him. I'm going to hopefully pop out to Yale.
Wow.
If I go to New York in a few weeks, cause Yale's not.
Yeah.
You know, Mila Matt's from New York, and it sort of said, if I've not got time to pop to Yale, he's going to bring it down to New York.
Cool.
And set it up and allow me to test the device, and hopefully... Yeah, next year, that will have moved from the prototype stage, and if I can push him to do a Kickstarter, we can all buy a cube that transforms to help us navigate. It's of all the technology I've experienced in the past 5 years,
yeah,
that seems the most sci-fi.
Definitely.
I've used glass. We've both messed around with glass.
Yeah.
Glass was like, wow, this feels...
Yeah.
A leap in technology. It Definitely. Really did. It felt like a big leap. You know, mobile phones, it's just TikTok.
Yeah.
It's not massive leaps, is it?
No.
Whereas when I heard about this, I felt like it was from a sci-fi novel.
Yeah. It's the kind of thing you would see in a sci-fi film, you'd be like, oh, the CG on that was dreadful.
I imagine the way they do it in a sci-fi film would be a metal sphere.
Yeah.
And then the sphere would...
melt.
The sphere, yeah, would transform. Yeah. You know, like, oh my God, we used to watch...
Flight of the Navigator.
Yes! You know what I was saying the other day? It's been such a long time since I've seen Flight of the Navigator.
It's a legendary film.
How much did you want that little creature? Can you remember what that little creature was called?
Nope.
Did he have a species name, or did he name it? Did he even reference it by name in the film?
I don't recall...
He must have given it a name.
Yeah.
We need to know. We need to know, Neil.
I just remember the navigator when it...
and just turned into that point.
No, he was the navigator. The ship, when it was talking to him, and it got all messed up and his voice went real Pee Wee Herman, like, ha-ha, kind of.
I liked it. Can you remember when he first did manual control?
Yeah.
And it raised from the floor.
Oh, the discs that he put his hands on.
And now we go. We needed video for that, Neil. We're both waving our hands around
our arms around, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no.
But yeah, it's totally that thing.
That's when films were films.
When the ship transformed from the kind of amorphous blob to the really long pointed ship.
Yeah, it's when he raced around the world, wasn't it? Why did he race around the world? I can't even remember.
I don't know, because he could.
Just to show off?
It was like a turbo button, wasn't it? Between his legs, it was like a turbo button that he slammed.
Oh, yes, because that came up, and then it made it a tight seat, so when you're in turbo mode.
Yeah, so you can slide around all over the place.
So I imagine that
yeah.
You're not going to get a sphere to change shape.
No, because it was like a liquid metal effect, really, wasn't it? There's no way you'd be able to do that.
Well, we say that. I didn't even think you'd be able to do a transforming 3D cube 2 days ago.
True.
Whereas now that thing exists.
Yeah.
And not only does it exist, if I'm in New York in a few weeks, I'm actually going to get to use it. I'm getting that recorded.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Well, I'm assuming he's not going to mind, because there's videos on the internet of it.
All right.
So I don't think he'll object too much to his recording using it.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe I can even see if we can twist his arm to send me one. I don't know.
Mm.
I think at the minute, the way it works, I think it only works, it's like the wireless is attached to it, like a laptop.
Right, I was going to say, so, is it like attached to, surely you'd have it like attached to an app.
Yeah.
And then on your phone by Bluetooth or whatever.
That's the way it's going to work. So yeah, that's the bit that, at the minute, it's like, oh, and it's whether it's going to become it. But, these are all massive problems.
He's got the biggest problem sorted, basically, which is making the actual thing work.
He has the skills to actually integrate the circuits. It's not like this is some random dude from Kickstarter that is like, I've never made a bomb, I've never made this. This guy's made it, it works.
Yeah.
It makes robotics and prosthetics. He's a researcher at Yale.
Yeah.
He's not a rookie.
No.
You know, this guy knows what he's doing. So, yeah. So excited about that. I really am.
That does sound awesome.
Yeah. It's going to be cool. I want it.
Yeah, definitely. I want to see it.
Well, you can look at the videos online.
I'm going to have a look for that after this.
Yeah.
Cool. The only thing I thought was interesting the last week, so, because we've been a bit of a while since we recorded last.
Yeah, we'll have to explain that after this, yeah.
Yeah, due to circumstances. Microsoft showed off a way of 3D scanning objects for printing.
So you can print as well?
Yeah, it was the 3D scanning an object in order that you can then print it from a 3D printer.
So we can basically now print things we're not supposed to.
But it was all using a mobile phone camera, and they used a 5S in the demo that they did, which, you know, it's not the latest phone by any means.
Yeah.
And some of the things that I read were saying that some of the scans looked a little bit rough, but, you know, early stages.
Yeah.
And it was called Mobile Fusion is the name of the project.
So is this going to be released, or is this internal prototype?
I think it's internal prototyping at the moment, but it just... because Google have done something similar.
Yeah, Tango.
Yeah.
Tango's actually been realised as a project now.
Yeah.
It's been spun out.
But that requires additional hardware.
There's a lot of cameras on the tablet.
Yeah.
But I think they're trying to actually just make it work without the need for additional cameras.
Well, this is the thing. Microsoft are saying that this one, no additional hardware required. There's an app. And it's all the processing is done on the phone.
That is impressive.
Yeah.
So really, do you take multiple photos and it stitches it?
You basically, it's like a video mode, and you can turn it around.
Okay.
Scan.
Get all the axes.
Yeah. So because they did a photo stitching like panorama app before Microsoft did.
Yeah, but didn't they buy that off? Oh.
Is it called Photosynth or something like that?
But
that was a similar thing where, you know, it literally showed you the gaps and you moved the camera into the gaps.
I was using, do you know when I went to California like 6-7 years ago?
Yeah.
And I was taking, you know, where you take lots and lots of shots and then try and stitch it together.
Yeah.
And it always looks a bit...
not quite right.
Yeah. You know, some of the angles are off. I was using this software. And you'd press go and it would only take 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And you'd only feed in like 20 photos. But then the image it churned out was perfect.
Yeah.
Like, how did it even do that? I'm pretty sure that angle didn't exist in that photo. And I think they got bought out.
Oh, right.
But I can't remember what it was called. It started with a H.
Right.
And it was one of the most impressive stitching apps I'd ever seen. I know now the iPhone, you just go, and it does it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, but this, we're talking, this was quite a while ago.
Yeah.
And that was very impressive tech back then.
Well, I mean, the photosynth app was at least sort of 3 or 4 years ago, and I remember being really, really impressed with that, the way it worked.
It's just become commonplace now.
Yeah.
Back then, it was wow.
Yeah.
Any technology, haven't it?
Yeah. But you using that similar kind of thing to actually 3D map an object and then be able to feed that into your MakerBot or whatever and just print it out, it's just crazy.
I still want a 3D printer.
I
want a 3D printer for £200.
Yeah.
It needs to be not just a throwaway price, because £200 is certainly not throwaway.
No.
But
you can get ones in that price range.
Can you?
But yeah, but
any good though?
I don't know. They've usually been Kickstarter ones, so I can't attest to how good they are. But there was I saw a video a week or so about where somebody was like 3D printing with liquid glass.
Yeah, I actually read this as well, and they're trying to get to the point where they can use it on buildings and skyscrapers.
Yeah.
So you can actually make beautiful, complex, multiple curves in glass.
It looked really, really cool because of the way it was done, because it was like tubes of liquid glass.
Mm.
It did look very much like, you know, somebody had kind of essentially done that. Like, you know, when you get some Play-Doh, and you run it around in a ring and then like kind of up and up and up, and it's got that ridge all the way around it. It looked like that. Because of the way it was being printed out. But, you know, it's the first time that I'm aware of that they've been able to do that. So the further they get on with the technology, the more they'll be able to do with it.
Well, 3D printing was being pitched a few years ago as one of the most revolutionary pieces of technology. But we are now getting some really interesting 3D print things. Like, I think there's two car companies now that print in chassis.
Really?
Yeah, but it's real high-performance cars.
Yeah.
Because you're 3D printing and it's one piece, you don't need as many struts.
Yeah.
So it's a far lighter, far more minimal, but as strong chassis.
Yeah.
So then for high performance cars, if you can save a chunk of weight and still have a really rigid chassis.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see in the future if more car manufacturers start integrating 3D printing.
It's one of those things with any new technology, things start getting interesting when people start doing things that the creator didn't actually conceive.
Yeah.
And stuff just starts coming out like, whoa, I didn't even know that was possible. But because some guys got hold of it and started monkeying around with it and seeing what...
I think it was one of those technologies that allows other things to exist.
Yeah.
It's a real base technology.
Yeah.
And like you just said, it isn't until someone comes in and goes, God, why don't we make this? Like, I can remember, I think it was on Channel 4, you know, when that guy printed that, the replacement face for that.
Oh, yeah.
Can you remember? It was on, like, Embarrassing Bodies or something.
Yeah.
And he lost half of his face to some horrendous bacterial infection or something. And they 3D printed part of his face.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
It's crazy.
And those uses of 3D printing, like 3D printing for... prosthetics, and because there's a really great project.
I've heard about them. Yeah,
the hands.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because I can't remember what they were called, but it's like a group of people that basically do that kind of thing for children that have lost limbs and things. They did that kid in Iron Man arm.
Yes, I wasn't even thinking of that one. I was thinking of the reason these. We should be better with these company names.
Yeah,
this is coming in. This is just a conversation. Doing research, etc.
No,
but this is something I never thought. But you know, when you're a small child, you're four, the size of your hand changes.
Yeah.
So many times up until you're 16, 18.
Yeah.
Now, historically, you just had to have this prosthetic which wasn't sized appropriately.
Yeah.
Either it was too small when you were 7 or too large when you were 9.
Yeah.
So they come up with a way to 3D print these hands that you could always just reprint another one, and it was so cheap that you ended up with a prosthetic that was appropriately sized for a growing child. And I think they were doing these hands at like a few hundred pounds rather than thousands of pounds for... But you know what? I always thought, when I was looking at it, I was thinking, I know that... Could you not just buy the 3D printer?
Yeah.
And that makes a real, like, real flippant sort of assumption there that they can afford grand, drop $2,000-$3,000 on a 3D printer and then keep printing. But if you see capital cost over, like, recurring cost over the years, just, I could have a new hand every week.
Yeah, you can have different hands for different occasions.
Always be going hand.
Yeah.
But hopefully prosthetics get to a point where it's iRobot style.
Yeah, I mean...
where it's just nearly indistinguishable.
This and prosthetics traditionally have been ridiculously expensive.
Yeah.
And now...
But even those hooks.
Yeah.
Then you'd imagine a hook, it's like £200.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
And now, yeah, like you say, getting to a point where people can just literally download blueprints for it and stick it through into a MakerBot and there you go, boosh.
Yeah. It's a great technology.
Yeah.
And I think it's been getting a lot of usage in the medical arena.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see once it breaks out into other areas and how what's made.
I remember when I first started hearing about 3D printers, one of the guys on a podcast I was listening to was just like, for years I've had to like sellotape the back of my TV remote on to hold the batteries in because the little clip had broken. So I 3D printed myself a new back. And I'm like, well, that's it. It's paid for itself. You know?
I would much prefer... Have you seen that infrared device? Who makes it? But it ties into your phone. It's like 360. It just throws out the IR signal.
Oh, right.
So you put it in your room as a hub. It's about £60.
No, I've not seen that.
Yeah, and it just works on your phone. So yeah, I can control anything.
Yeah.
I was staying in someone's house that had one. You know, I think I was staying in like, my Airbnb or whatever. And yeah, they had it. I was like, this is amazing. But yeah, it's well about £60.
Yeah. That's how the Kinect on the Xbox One works. It's just got an IR blaster.
Oh, it just throws it out.
Just throws it out and just bounces off any old surface because it knows it'll get some back.
Yeah, especially so when if it powers up and off, definitely.
Yeah, if you're saying like, you know, check, because you can, obviously if you've got it linked into your TV system, you can change channel on the TV with the voice command. So then IR blaster, boof, there you go, that's your channel changed. It's just,
So does the One do that?
Yeah. Yeah, the Xbox One with Kinect, yeah.
So if I'm watching Sky, I can just say, channel.
Well, you know what Sky are like.
1, 2, 1. Yeah, but I'll blast it out as well.
I believe that's the case, yeah. I know that in America, if you got the cable subscription, you did the pass-through for the Xbox One. But
I think pass-through Sky in the UK only works...
I think it's just...
Preview.
Yeah, I think it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Because Sky are notoriously... closed on all that stuff.
We need the card, don't you?
Yeah.
To decode.
But yeah, I mean, you still need both boxes in America. Like, you still got your cable box has got
feed just pass into
them. Yeah.
I'll tell you what I was doing the other day and I was blown away with. And it's passed through. I was, got the Samsung TV.
Yeah.
And the remote control. And I had a Raspberry Pi running Kodi, which is XBMC.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I need to buy a remote control. No, you don't. It supports HDMI CEC.
Oh, right.
So it sends the command through the HDMI cable.
Nice.
And it only works. I was just using it. I was like, I can't believe it actually works. You don't need any IR receivers or a remote or anything. Just use your normal remote.
Yeah.
And it sends it through the HDMI cable and controls the Raspberry Pi.
Nice.
Fantastic.
Yeah, because they introduced that in an update for the Google Chromecast as well.
Oh, so it uses HDMI CEC.
Yeah, so you could pause and play video that you're watching
through your own remote,
just using your own.
It's TV remote. Really good. It makes any TV remote a universal remote.
Yeah,
It's a really good idea.
Yeah.
Everyone should do it.
And the fact that it's just, it's sat there waiting to be used.
Yeah, I know. Oh, yeah, I was shocked when I found out about it.
Yeah.
I think it's probably about time, Neil. Maybe we'll briefly mention why we haven't been recording the past 2 weeks. Well, I wasn't recording the other week because I was away. And the plan was we were going to do an international show.
Yep.
But then it turned out I was working till 3 a.m. in the morning, my local time where I was.
Yeah.
Which was 8 o'clock in the morning your time.
Yeah.
So it wasn't going to happen.
Wasn't going to happen.
Because, yeah. So that's a shame. Although, thanks to that trip, we do have this nice new microphone.
Yeah.
Which hopefully made the show sound slightly better.
It's a beast.
It is a beast. It's a Blue Yeti, which I can confirm when you try and get through American airport security. Looks suspicious like a bomb.
Yeah.
And not only do you get stopped once and they search your luggage, take it all apart, put it back in, but then when you're walking through the airport, they chase you back down to bring you back to security.
Interesting.
Just to double check that you're not carrying a bomb.
Okay.
So yeah, I do kind of regret putting it in hand luggage. I should have probably just checked it. Although I went hand luggage.
Yeah.
All I took was hand luggage. I came back with a case that weighed 19 kilograms and my hand luggage. Yeah. I had to go to like a random luggage shop.
And buy a case.
Well, I'm not spending much money. So imagine, you know, the old suitcases that your mum and dad used to have?
Yeah.
So probably grandma and granddad's for some people. Didn't have wheels, right?
No, of course not.
So it was like one of them, but it was one of them that was a duffel bag.
Oh, right. So
it stands as high as one of those really large cases, but it's a duffel bag.
Yeah.
So stuff that with clothes, and then there were straps around it, so really tightened them all up.
Yeah.
Turned it into a really giant duffel bag, and it weighed 19.
Jeez.
That was just clothes.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, I couldn't believe it. I was like, I can't believe I've come back with that much stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we didn't record last week because I was a bit poorly.
Yeah, Neil using his excuses.
So this is a belated podcast.
Yeah, we're still going to try and record this week.
Yep.
Probably record Friday night, possibly.
Yeah. Could do.
Thursday
or Friday night.
Yeah, we'll try and get we'll get the show in this week. So then we've only missed one show.
Yeah.
We're going to have to do one this week, Apple Expo.
Yeah, there's bound to be some chat.
There's bound to be some new products.
Yeah.
There's going to be new products.
Of course there is. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's it for episode 8.
Yeah.
Well, we're racking up now. We're going to be double digits soon.
I know. The other thing I was going to mention just briefly was I did start to upload all of the videos that we've been uploading to YouTube. I was uploading them also to the Facebook native player.
Yeah.
There's a problem with that.
Really?
There's a maximum length of 45 minutes.
So, really?
Yeah. So the first three videos went up. And then from episode 4 onwards, we got a bit chatty. And they're all, from episode 4 onwards, they're all over 45 minutes, and therefore we can't upload them to Facebook.
I did not know there was a 45-minute cap.
I didn't know either, yeah. So otherwise, I wouldn't have tried. But yeah, the first three episodes are up there.
Is there a cap on YouTube, then?
No. Not that I'm aware of.
No, not that we've hit yet.
No, we haven't hit it. No.
we'll discover it. We'll find it.
Yeah, it seemed like a bizarre length, 45 minutes, you'd think.
Yeah. That does make you wonder what the decision is.
Yeah.
Can't be storage, not with Facebook.
You wouldn't have thought.
So why not go beyond 45 minutes?
I don't know. But yeah, so we've not been able to upload anything past
episode
3.
Do you think that's because... No, can't be that. I'm just thinking that in America, and now a TV show...
is 42 minutes.
42 minutes.
Yeah.
So that would fit that show and your premium sponsored ad. Would they want to move towards... Because Facebook want to do everything, don't they?
Well, yeah.
Because 45 minutes just seems a bit arbitrary.
It does.
30 minutes, you're like, oh yeah, it's half an hour.
Yeah, it's half an hour, yeah.
An hour, oh yeah, an hour, it's a nice cut-off point. But 45 minutes...
just seem a bit bizarre.
Yeah. Is there a... Beyond a... Unless there's an obscure technical reason that we don't know.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for that. I'm going to go for the 42-minute plus your premium-sponsored commercial. Because your premium-sponsored commercial could run three times.
Yeah.
That's 60 minutes. That'd work in a 4 or 5-minute show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go for that. We will end there.
Yeah, but we will end there, yeah. So, yeah, that's another episode of Tech Enthusiast. I've been Neil.
I've been Simon.
And we'll see you later this week.